This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, as always, Richard James Rogers. And today, I really want to make a very useful and practical episode. And I want to talk about the things that really actually matter in the classroom. What is it that actually matters when it comes to being an outstanding teacher or an excellent teacher? To be honest, I don't really like this word outstanding, because so many of my UK colleagues listening to this associate that word with Ofsted and inspections. And it's really not about that. That shouldn't be the focus. When we're talking about an outstanding or an excellent or an amazing, inspirational teacher, what are we actually concerned about? What works in the classroom? What is it that really, really matters? Well, there's a few things that I've learned over the past 16 years, and some of the things I'm going to say today are going to be controversial. They're not going to be accepted by everyone who listens to this, but I think most people who listen will realize that what I'm telling is the blunt truth of the matter. So do listen carefully, because I will be sharing a lot of golden nuggets of advice today. The first thing I want to say, the first thing that actually matters, is your passion in the classroom and the extent to which you plan your lessons. And that is much more important than how many letters you have after your name. Now, that's going to upset some people, particularly people who've invested a lot of money in their education. But it's unfortunate to me when I see schools hiring master's degree level teachers or PhD level teachers. I mean, to me, it's always really amazed me that someone would invest so much time into getting a PhD and then just go into high school teaching or primary school teaching, you know. It's in my opinion, I think that's overqualified. Maybe if you're going to be a school leader or a school principal or a headmaster, you know, a PhD might be more useful in that kind of setting. But I think if you're a day-to-day class teacher, using principles that are going to get those kids maximizing their progress and raising their attainment, a PhD or master's degree is not necessary. The letters after your name, in all honesty, they're meaningless when it comes to how good you are in the classroom. It's important to have a baseline for schools to hire staff. You've got to have a bachelor's degree. You've got to be qualified. You have to have those basic qualifications, I think. But I think schools have got to stop this practice of just looking at the qualifications a teacher has and thinking, oh, that'll look good for the school, or, oh, this person must be a great teacher because they have a master's degree, or they have a PhD, or they got a first-class bachelor's degree, or something like this. Some of the worst teachers I've ever worked with have been PhDs, master's degree teachers, teachers from Oxbridge I've worked with in the past who've been just terrible in the classroom, haven't been able to relate to the students, haven't been clear in their communication, have been behind in their teaching schedules, have been lazy, all kinds of issues I've come across from apparently very qualified, very able, very gifted and talented adults who I've worked with over the years. Of course, I've had many more teachers who I've worked with who've been amazing and professional and really excellent in the classroom, who I've learned a lot from. But there certainly, in my experience, seems to be no correlation at all between the qualifications a teacher has and how good they are in the classroom. So that's the first thing I'll say. And really, that's a message, I think, for recruiters and school leaders more than it is for everyday class teachers, although it might be reassuring for you. Because, you know, please don't think, as I once did, that someone with a master's degree must be a better teacher than you. And don't be disheartened if you're turned down for a job, as I was back in the early days when I was an NQT, really struggling to survive with student loan debt and not much money, really trying to get that first proper job. And the feedback I got from the interview was the other person had a master's degree in chemistry, and that's why we hired him. And then I was thinking, okay, so you just called, you called me to the interview, you got me to go there on time, I got all dressed up already, did the interview lesson, put my heart and soul into this, gave up a day of my life, all to be told you haven't got the job because you don't have a master's degree. That kind of practice has really got to stop. It's not acceptable. It's not a good way to treat people. But what I will say, though, everybody, if you want to improve your chances of getting those good jobs in good schools, a master's degree will help. And I think one of the biggest regrets I have in my professional journey is that I did not do a master's degree. And I should have done one. It would have only been an extra year at university all those years ago when I was much younger and I had time on my hands back then. I should have done it then, and I didn't. I didn't. And I know, looking back, that many more doors, well, maybe not many more, but more doors would have opened for me if I'd have had a master's degree from the start. I've done pretty well. I've taught at many great, great schools. I teach at an amazing school right now. I have done other qualifications since my bachelor's degree. I've done the PGCE, obviously. I did a certificate in mathematics with the Open University. I've done some other things. But a master's degree would have helped. And I am currently studying for a master's degree. I'm about to apply, actually, to the University of Exeter for 2023 entry. I'm hoping they'll accept me. If not, of course, I'll find an alternative. But I'm getting ready for that now, and I do plan to have my master's degree in education by 2026 at the latest. But that's the first thing, to reassure everybody that the letters after your name do not correlate to how good you are as a teacher. Or perhaps to say that in a less confrontational way, I should say that your personality and your drive and your enthusiasm and your planning and your passion are really what's going to make the difference in the classroom, not how many letters someone has after their name. So that's the first thing. What's the second thing that matters? Well, the second thing is physiology and biochemistry. I've mentioned this many times before. It's not talked about enough at teacher training institutions do not mention this enough. They don't talk about it enough. You have to be full of energy when you go into school every day, and that gets harder as you get older. It involves having regular exercise. It involves getting good eating habits in place. It involves waking up really early so you can get ready for a day at school. It involves not rushing to school, but going to school in a relaxed fashion. It involves planning ahead. It involves organization. There was a time in the early days of my career where I would wake up late, I would rush to school, I'd be in a big mood, I wouldn't be well prepared, and my lessons and ultimately my students suffered because of it on those days. Nowadays, I don't let that happen. It's not good for my students if I let that happen, and it's not good for me. And you'll often find that if you rush to school and you're not prepared, people will catch you by surprise. They'll ask you for something, or they'll mention something, and you'll be confused, and you'll think, what's that? What does that mean? And you'll look a little bit foolish because you should be on the ball. So that's definitely something to really think about. Are you physiologically and biochemically ready for a day at school? And what can you do to improve that? Let's talk about some other things that matter then. The third thing that matters is your feedback that you give to your students. Is that feedback timely? Or are your students waiting too long to get feedback? And also, is the feedback personal? Is it one-to-one? Do the students understand what the feedback is? Back in the early days of my teaching career, there was a lot of emphasis placed on writing lengthy comments in students' books, which were really specific. Now, that can look good when someone's doing a work scrutiny and they're looking at notebooks, or when inspectors come in, but does it actually help the students? And in my opinion, it only goes some way towards helping the students. It's not the most effective way to give feedback. It's more effective, in my opinion and in my experience, to talk to students one-to-one with the work with them and tell them what needs to be improved and ask the student to improve the work, and also to write down exactly what you said, to write down the feedback you said. So in my case, I tell my students to write down Mr. Rogers said in a different colored pen after that one-to-one conversation. It's called live marking. There's two types of live marking. There's one where you call the students to your desk one at a time while they're doing a task, and you mark their work with them in real time. The second is probably more popular, and that's where you walk around the room as the students are completing a task, and you mark their books in real time and discuss the work with them. We've really got to get out of this habit as teachers of just telling kids what their grades are and not how to improve. That's the first thing. We've got to get out of the habit of just giving work back and not discussing it with the students. That's the second big thing. And the third thing is, and this is probably the one that pertains to most teachers, is we've got to get out of the habit of giving back a test or giving back a homework or giving back a piece of work and then forgetting about it. That is not going to help those students in the long term. If you read my blog at richardjamesrogers.com, there's a post on there called Subtle Reinforcement, and I'll link to it in this episode description. But it's this idea that when you have marked an assessment or a test, you give that back to a student. You make sure that student has a definite, real target, tangible target for the next test they do, or the next homework they do, or the next piece of work they do. So for example, if a student has been given a grade C 51%, you make sure that that student knows their target for the next test, 56%. Maybe, or 59%. But that's not enough. You've also got to remind that student regularly between the homework or the task or the test they just did and their next homework, task, or assessment what their target is on the upcoming task. So I might say, John, don't forget, what's your target for your next task? 59%, sir. Yes, that's correct. John, you've got your test today. What's your target? That's right, 59%. Let's make it happen. And you've got to constantly reinforce that, because students forget what their targets are. And as teachers, we often forget that our students have many different subjects. They don't just learn our subject. They have lots going on in their lives. They have family stuff going on. They've got peer pressure. They've got dynamics going on with their friends and their families. They've got all kinds of things. There's social media distracting them. There's gaming that's distracting them. Devices distracting them. they've got busy lives. They've got busy lives. They've got active lives. Many people are involved in their lives. They've got lots going on. And that's why it's important that we constantly, regularly remind our students of what their targets for improvement are, and also reminding them of their character and who they are. Reminding them of the good things they've done, reminding them of the good work they've done, the skills they've shown. I will often say to students who I pass by in the corridor, for example, how's it going? Everything okay? I still remember that great homework you handed in last week, and you labeled that diagram so well. I was really impressed with that. You know, it's that regular reminder of who the student is and what they did and the work they put in and the effort they put in. And that constant reminder really encourages the student to think of themselves in positive ways. And life can get us down, you know, and our students are no different to us as adults. Life can be hard, and it can be easy, very easy actually, for our students to forget who they are and to forget what they've done and to forget how good they are at certain things. And that's why we've got to constantly remind them. So let's see if I can remember those three things, everybody. So the first thing that really matters is your planning, your energy, your preparation, and your delivery in the classroom, not how many letters a teacher has after their name. The second thing that really matters in teaching is your biochemistry and your physiology. Are you ready for a day of teaching? Are you awake? Are you alert? Are you in school early? Have you had breakfast? Do you have the energy to be on the ball that day when you're teaching? Have you planned properly? That kind of thing. And the final thing that really matters in teaching is providing regular, personal, one-to-one feedback to students. Reminding them of their targets and reminding them of what they've done that's really good in the past as well. Those constant reminders, it's called subtle reinforcement, and I'm going to link to a blog post in this episode description. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm going to try and get these podcast episodes done more often. It is challenging because I am a full-time high school science and chemistry teacher myself. So, you know, I do have a busy schedule, but the good news for all of you is that you know that what I'm telling you is the truth and it's genuine stuff, because the stuff I tell you in these podcast episodes are the things I'm using day to day in my classroom. These are the things that actually work. I'm not talking to you from some ivory tower, impractical, intangible, detracted, distanced, detached place that is not in the best interests of teachers and students. That is not where I'm talking from. I'm not giving you wishy-washy theories that take hours and hours of planning time and adaptation to implement in the classroom. I'm giving you real stuff that really, really works, because I use it and I know it works and I've seen it work. So I do hope that all of that was really helpful, everybody. If you want to contact me for an episode request or for anything, any questions, you can contact me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. And also you can contact me on social media, and all of my links to social media are in the episode description. Thank you, everybody. I hope that was an enjoyable and useful episode. Until next time, bye-bye for now.